we present Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace with Robin Ellis as Evelyn Orcombe.
Come in, Miss Powler. Sit down. This is Miss Powler, who is our laundry staff manageress, my secretary, Miss Cass.
I'm very pleased to meet you.
How do you do? Mr. Orcombe, Mr. Perosi wants to see you. It's a security matter. One of the pass keys is missing. He thinks it may have been stolen.
Oh, in that case, Mr. Perosi doesn't want me. He'd better speak to Plimsing. Mr. Plimsing is our house detective, a retired police inspector.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps you'd go and sort it out, Miss Cass.
Very good, Mr. Orcombe.
Now then, as I said, we need a new floor housekeeper, and I fancy the job might suit you.
It does sound interesting, but I don't know very much about it.
The Imperial Palace has 8 floors and 1 housekeeper to each floor. You would be in charge of the chambermaids. I'm sure you'd manage that very efficiently, just as you've been managing the laundry maids. But you'd also have to deal with the guests, which is a very different proposition.
You mean I'm used to being given into, but with the guests, I'd have to do the giving in.
Not quite. You mustn't give in, only seem to give in. Suppose a visitor complains her room is cold and you find she hasn't had the sense to turn on the radiator. You must do it for her. And as you leave, you say, "This radiator is a little temperamental. May I show you how it turns on?" That way you've won, but she thinks she has.
But I do know something about housekeeping on account of my sister. Though, of course, she was in private service.
Ah, with Sir Henry Savart. Quite a coincidence.
Oh, and once when Susan was ill, I went and helped out at his house. Later on, after Susan died, he offered me the job. But, well, by then I was settled in at the laundry, so I didn't take it up.
I expect you know Sir Henry's daughter, too.
Miss Gracie? Oh, yes.
She was staying here until last night when she suddenly left for Paris. An extraordinary young lady, isn't she?
Yes, sir. Extraordinary.
Afternoon, Mr. Perosi. Miss Cass tells me you have a little problem.
Yes, Plimsing. One of the floor waiters was called to room 532 and left his pass key in the door. When he went back, it had disappeared.
In the door? Contrary to regulations, that is.
So I told him. Of course, it may turn up.
But a duplicate could have been cut in the meantime. Yeah, I'll look into it right away. But I wanted a word with you about Mrs. de Resiter.
I'm sorry? Mrs. de...
De Resiter? The lady has kicked up a fuss the other night? Claiming she'd had her mink fur stolen from the cloakroom.
Ah, yes. Has it been found?
Not as yet. But I'm hoping to have some further information very shortly.
Mr. Orcombe's office? No, I'm afraid you can't speak to him. He's in a meeting with Mr. Dover. Mr. Dennis Dover, the company chairman. I can't possibly disturb them.
And you think Henry Savart is behind all this?
I can't swear to it. I only say it's a strong possibility.
Mm. Remind me, how long have these mysterious share dealings been going on?
We realized last year that blocks of our shares were changing hands. And in the past few months, certain transfers have been registered, which aroused the suspicions of our solicitor.
Our friend Levinson has a suspicious mind. You don't think he may be worrying unnecessarily?
I'd trust Levinson. He keeps a sharp eye on the shareholders.
Who's buying up all these shares?
We can't tell. They're snapped up by middlemen on behalf of various private companies. And, of course, ownership of the shares gives them voting power. We're dangerously close to losing control of our own company.
And what makes you think Savart's behind it?
He's booked into the palace for no apparent reason. And this afternoon, by sheer chance, I discovered from a young lady who worked for him at one time that Sir Henry has a secret ambition to take over a first-class hotel.
So, what do you suggest we do about it?
I think you should call an extraordinary general meeting of shareholders as soon as possible.
Oh, Mr. Orcombe. Mr. Plimsing has been waiting for some time.
Sorry about that, Plimsing. I'll be with you in a second. Would you go and give the chairman a helping hand, Miss Cass? He's composing an urgent letter to the shareholders.
But surely his own secretary...
The letters would... must go out tonight, so it's all hands to the pumps.
Very well, Mr. Orcombe.
Now, Plimsing, what's the problem? Something about a missing key?
That's been taken care of, sir. When Mr. Perosi told me what had happened, the name of a certain individual struck me. I recognised the modus operandi, as you might say. When I located him, the passkey was still in his hip pocket.
Well done, Plimsing.
Thank you, sir.
That's very satisfactory.
There is one other thing I thought you'd wish to know, sir, with regard to Mrs. de Rossiter.
Who?
The person who threatened to sue us for the loss of her fur cape. I made inquiries, and it seems her real name is Mrs. Ebag. She has a record as long as your arm, and when she realised I was on to her, she left London by the 8:20 New Haven Dieppe train. Well, I couldn't have her arrested. There wasn't time to assemble the evidence, but, I don't think you'll be hearing from her again.
If you'd care to look in the mirror, Mr. Orton.
Perhaps a touch more off this side.
Ah.
That's fine.
Will there be anything more, sir? A little bay rum, perhaps?
No, thank you.
How about the electric scalp massage? It has a very invigorating effect.
I'm sure it does, but unfortunately I can't spare the time.
Or a manicure. Miss Phipps is free if you'd care
no,
to...
No, thank you very much. I only needed a haircut. Nothing more.
Well said, Orcombe, a man of an own heart. You fellas never seem to understand that when a man wants his hair cut, he does not want to be cropped, lathered, shaved, anointed, oiled, perfumed, or anything else. But if this chair is about to be vacated, I'll have a trim.
Very good, sir. I'll be with you in just a moment. Perhaps you'd be good enough to initial the bill, Mr. Orcombe.
Certainly.
Now there you have the advantage over me. You sign the cheque. I have to pay cash. Hey, by the by, I haven't seen you about lately. You've been away?
No, but I have been rather busy.
Yes, I gather you're holding a shareholders' meeting this afternoon.
I wonder how you heard that. Tell me, I've been meaning to ask, I wonder if you dine with me this evening, if you're free.
Well, I'm not, but I can make myself free. What time?
Will 8 o'clock suit you?
Perfectly. The restaurant or the grill room?
Neither. Upstairs. My own private castle on the top floor.
Allow me to brush it down, sir.
Thanks. Till tonight, then, Sir Henry.
I shall look forward to it, and I hope your meeting goes well.
Well, gentlemen, the shareholders await us in the ballroom. Are we ready for the fray?
As ready as we'll ever be.
They're not going to like it.
Come now, Levinson, knock back your brandy and stiffen your sinews, for the hour is at hand. I give you a toast to the new resolution.
The new resolution!
By now, you will know the terms of the new resolution. Instead of having one vote per share, each shareholder shall have only one vote for 5 shares. Furthermore, no shareholder shall have more than 10 votes in all. This will appeal to the small shareholder, since a block of 50 shares will have the same voting power as 50,000 shares. Company solicitor Mr. Levinson is in full accord with us, but before he seconds the resolution, does anyone have any comments?
With great respect, I wish to differ from the unanimous opinion of the board. My experience has taught me that ownership should never be divorced from control. Yeah. This resolution would do exactly that. If you vote in favour of it, you will put yourselves in the hands of the board.
Who's your friend?
A solicitor called Crump, probably one of Savot's nominees, speaking for all of them.
How many shares does he hold?
1,500, bought 6 months ago.
I beg you, ladies and gentlemen, to think long and hard, for the future of the Imperial Palace Company trembles in the balance.
Very well, ladies and gentlemen. Let us ascertain if the gentleman's opinion is widely shared. I move that we take a show of hands. All those against the resolution? Thank you. All those in favour?
Thank you. An excellent meal. I congratulate you on your private castle.
I see no reason to make myself less comfortable than the hotel guests. A touch more brandy. I was sorry to see from the departure list that your daughter had left us.
Yes, off to Paris in a flash. Girls can be unpredictable, can't they? At least Gracie can. But I'll say this for her. She's no fool.
Certainly not. I've never met any young woman more intelligent. She struck me as exceptional.
So she is. You know, she's decided to give up motor racing. She started to write a book, if you don't mind. God knows what it'll be like. She reads nothing herself but Shakespeare and the Bible. You'd never guess what she thinks is the best thing in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. That's how I understand it. But it sticks in the mind.
Oh. Well, perhaps we aren't still enough. Perhaps she's right.
Yes, she's a bright girl. Talking of girls, I wanted to ask you about a friend of mine, Violet Powler. You met her the other day.
Yes, we're taking her on as a housekeeper.
You won't regret it. In her own way, Violet's a first-rater too. Did she tell you her sister used to work for me, Susan Powler?
She also told me her sister had died. That must have been a great shock for her.
Not only for her. I nearly married Susan Powler.
Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't tell me that.
Well, I was still married to Lady Savart then. Susan was afraid she'd be mixed up in the divorce, and by the time I was free, it was too late. But I didn't come here to talk about the past. It's the future that interests me.
The world's future? Or your own?
Our future. Yours and mine. Congratulations on getting your resolution passed, by the way. I heard what happened at the meeting.
Yes, I thought you might have done. You seem to take a personal interest in the Imperial Palace.
I take an interest in a good many things. Let me tell you a few of them. The Majestic in London and the Duncannon. The Concorde and the Montaigne in Paris. The Minerva at Cannes. The Escurial in Madrid. The Botticini at San Remo. And the Albergo Umberto in Rome.
Making 8 altogether.
And I control them. I don't say I bought them. Mind, I bought one. But I have options that give me control of the other 7. So, I have 8.
And you want 9?
I want the Imperial Palace. I want you, Mr. Orcombe. I won't have anything but the best. And I want to put you in charge of the whole lot. What do you say? Is it worth your while?
Oh, very flattered, of course, but quite frankly, I'm afraid not.
You think I'm a raving idiot, don't you?
Oh, far from it. I'm happy and contented. I don't want anything else.
You'll excuse me if I say you have no right to be happy and content. How old are you? 40-odd at the most. No man under 50 should be happy and content. I'm not. When you're contented, you're as near dead as makes no difference.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mustn't get carried away. Thank you for a perfect evening.
You're leaving already?
I'm giving you a chance to change your mind. But I'm not giving up the Imperial Palace, and I'm not leaving it either. I won't vanish overnight like Gracie. Think about it. Good night.
Good morning, Mr. Orcombe. You have a visitor.
Miss McLaren, good morning.
I'm sorry to trouble you so early, sir, but Miss Cass said it would be all right.
Well, if this is a housekeeping problem, perhaps
you... Oh, it's not exactly a problem, sir. Of course, the new girl, Miss Paola, will be arriving this afternoon, but I'm sure I can deal with that.
Well, I was about to say, shouldn't you take this up with Mrs. O'Riordan? After all, she is in charge of housekeeping.
Well, that's just it, sir. Mrs. O'Riordan sent me to tell you she'd like you to go and see her.
Go and see her? Can't she come and see me?
Oh, no, sir. She's not dressed.
I beg your pardon?
Well, not fully dressed. She's in bed. In her negligee. She's not feeling very well.
Good heavens. What's the matter with her?
I don't know. She didn't say. But she'd like to see you when it's convenient.
Mr. Orcombe, how sweet of you to come.
What's this I hear about you being ill?
Oh, the hotel doctor says it's sciatica. Only a slight attack, but very painful. I know it's very naughty of me to waste your time when you're such a busy man. But I want to talk to you. Do sit down.
Thank you.
It's about Miss Berry.
What about her?
She's not been fairly treated.
Well, I disagree. Miss Berry had an argument with a hotel guest about a fur cape, she claimed.
Glimpsing tells me it was a confidence trick, and the woman has fled the country, so Miss Berry was quite right to stand up to her.
Forgive me, she was not. While the woman was our guest, she should have been treated with courtesy. I can't keep Miss Berry as a housekeeper. That's why I replaced her with Miss Powler.
But it's not fair to throw her out.
No. I found her a job in the laundry.
I didn't train Alice Berry to iron shirts and underpants.
To replace Miss Powler as staff manageress.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'm sorry. It's just that everything seemed to be happening at once. I let it get on top of me. That's why I decided I have to give in my notice.
Oh, come now. Just because you're unhappy over a minor disagreement.
Who said anything about a disagreement? And I'm not unhappy. I'm going to be married.
Married?
And I don't see anything to laugh at.
No, I beg your pardon. It's just, I'm happy about your happiness. Who's the lucky man?
Colonel Sir Brian Milligan Bart. I'm to be the future Lady Milligan.
I'm delighted. Oh, we shall give you a farewell dinner party to celebrate the occasion.
Oh, no, 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 you mustn't do that. I couldn't bear it. I might cry, and I never let anyone see me cry.
Nonsense. Of course you must have a dinner and a wedding present.
Come in.
Good afternoon, Mrs. O'Riordan.
No, but you better come in anyway.
I was looking for the head housekeeper.
My name's Paola.
I know. Now, this will be your room, Miss Paola. Is that all the luggage you've brought?
Yes. I was supposed to see Mrs. O'Riordan.
I've taken her place. My name's McLaren. Mrs. O'Riordan left us unexpectedly.
Oh?
She gave in her notice early this morning. She wasn't feeling well. But by midday, she'd made an amazing recovery, packed her bags and walked out. Irish, you see. Unpredictable. And as I was her second-in-command...
You've taken over. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Now, has anyone told you what your duties will be?
Only in a general sort of way.
Well, then I'd better explain. You'll be on the third floor. You have to inspect all the unoccupied rooms. Mm-hmm. Turn on the lights, draw the curtains, make sure the taps don't drip. Check that everything is spotless. The bed linen is changed every other day.
And do I do that?
Oh, no, 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 no. No, that's the chambermaid's job. Oh. It's your job to keep them up to the mark. You get one half day off each week and every second weekend. On early days, you start at 6:30 and finish at 8. And the other days, you begin at 8 and finish at midnight.
Do I have keys to all the rooms?
You have a key to the linen cupboard and pass keys to the rooms. And you guard them with your life. Now, let me think. You can unpack your bag and put your things away, and then you... Oh, God, my dear, my head's in such a whirl. You better wander about and find your way around.
Oh, now, where do I find the linen cupboard? Or perhaps it's round this corner.
Oh!
I beg your pardon. Miss Paola.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you settling in?
To be honest, I'm a little nervous.
You don't look it, and that's all that matters. Of course, you heard about Mrs. O'Riordan leaving us in the lurch.
I was told it all happened very suddenly.
She's decided to get married. I said we'd give her a farewell dinner, but she couldn't face it. On the spur of the moment, she just sent me a little note and disappeared.
Leaving Miss McLaren in charge.
That's right. If you have any little problems, you go to her. If you have any serious problems, come to me. Anything else you want to know?
Oh, I want to know everything. I haven't got my bearings yet, but I won't leave you in the lurch.
I'm sure you won't. Oh, there's one thing you can do for me. I'd like some flowers sent up to the head housekeeper's room to make it look welcoming for McLaren. Would you see to it?
Yes, of course.
Remember, if you have any difficulties, you can always...
Orcombe! I thought I recognised your voice. Aunt Miss Paola.
I told you she was joining my staff.
Good afternoon, Sir Henry. I'm to be the third floor housekeeper.
This floor? That's lucky, because a housekeeper is just what I need. You don't mind if I commandeer her services, my dear chap?
That's what she's here for. Don't let me detain you, Miss Paola.
Splendid fellow. I'm glad to see you here. The very place for you.
You're very kind, but I've still got an awful lot to learn.
Oh, not you. In my house, you always knew exactly how to treat guests. Although, you don't mind me offering a word of advice.
Oh, I'd be very grateful.
Do you know any French?
I'm afraid not.
Take my tip and study it. A cosmopolitan place like this, an extra language would give you a sort of standing, you see? Think it over.
I shall. But you said just now that you needed a housekeeper.
Ah, yes. It's above the desk in my room. It's too small for me. I can't get my knees under it. Come in and take a look.
And off she goes, Mr. Perosi, leaving me in a fine old muddle, I don't mind telling you.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. Mm. Come in.
Oh, excuse me, Miss McLaren. They said I'd find you here.
Yes, I was just telling Mr. Perosi about Mrs. O'Riordan. Rushing off like that without a word. And now I hear she's getting married. At her age, too. Whatever next, I'd like to know.
Oh, well, some women do get wedding nerves beforehand.
All the same, she shouldn't have done it. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce you. This is Miss Paola, our new housekeeper on the third. This is Mr. Perosi, the hotel manager.
Welcome to the Imperial Palace, Miss Paola.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry to bother you, Miss McLaren, but Sir Henry Savart wants a bigger desk in his suite, and I'm not sure...
Oh, if it isn't one thing, it's another. I'd better go and see to it. You stay and talk to Mr. Perosi. He'll explain anything that's puzzling you. He knows everything, don't you, Mr. Perosi? I shan't be long.
Without wishing to contradict a lady, I don't claim to know everything. But if you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Well, for a start, could you tell me about flowers?
Flowers?
Mr. Orcombe told me to get some for Miss McLaren's room, only I don't know where to go.
You telephone the flower shop, just off the main reception hall. If a guest wants to order flowers, they provide them. As a rule, flower vases are taken from the rooms at breakfast time each day and sent down to the shop. Given fresh water, wilting flowers replaced, and they're back in place before nine. And the next question?
Oh, well, I don't like to trouble you.
Not at all. What is it?
I want to learn French. I believe there are some Frenchmen on the staff here, so...
Well, my father was Italian, but I was born and brought up in France. If you wish to speak French, come to me in the evening when you are off duty, and I will do my best to teach you.
Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. I'm sure you must be dying for your tea. I know I am.
No, really. You shouldn't have bothered. Just the cup would have been quite enough.
No, that's not the point. I didn't order dry teas. I expect to be given a large tray, the one Mrs. O'Riordan used to have, and her teapot, and bread and butter, and cake, and blackcurrant jam. I mean to say, I am entitled to it now, aren't I?
Well, yes. But I don't suppose the waiter meant anything by it.
Whether he meant it or not, I won't have him taking advantage. You see what I mean, don't you?
Of course.
I believe in taking a firm line. The floor housekeepers, like you, Violet, have what we call a dry tea, nothing to eat. But the head housekeeper has special privileges.
I see. It really is very kind of you to invite me, Miss McLaren, on my first day.
Mac, dear. When we're on our own, you can call me Mac. Most people do. Not the waiters and chambermaids, of course, but I could tell at a glance you'd never take advantage. Oh, by the by, I knew there was something else. I just had a message from the powers that be. Starting tomorrow, you're moving up to the 8th floor.
Oh, why is that?
Ours is not a reason why, dear. And one floor is much the same as another.
Yes, but I was just getting to know everyone on the 3rd floor. Why do I have to move?
Perhaps you're getting to know one of them a bit too well.
I don't understand.
A little bird told me you're a personal friend of Sir Henry Savart. Is that a fact?
Oh, how ridiculous. Yes, I know him. My sister used to work for him, but we're not friends.
Yeah, all the same, the management don't approve of staff and guests getting too pally. I dare say that's why... come in.
Tea for two, Miss McLaren.
Ah, now that's more like it.
A fine, bright morning, Miss Cass.
Yes, Mr. Orcombe, nice to see the sun again. Would you like to go through the mail first?
I suppose so. Any personal letters for me?
No, but there are one or two messages. Sir Henry Savart rang a few minutes ago. If you're free this evening, he'd like to invite you up to his suite for a drink.
Isn't it this evening I'm seeing the restaurant manager to discuss the New Year's Eve party?
I told Sir Henry it would have to be later, and he said it would suit him very well.
Fine. Say I'll see him at 8:30. Is that all?
Not quite. He wants to move up to the 8th floor. He says the view is so much better up there.
Really? What did you tell him?
I said I was sure it could be arranged. Well, the 8th is half empty at present. Did I do the wrong thing?
No, no, you're quite right. When the Savarts of this world set their heart on something, they generally get it.
Your very good health, my dear chap.
And yours.
I expect you guessed that I asked you here for a specific reason.
I didn't imagine it was to admire the view.
No. Though it's worth admiring. London by night, all the lights along the embankment. Well, what do you think?
It's certainly an impressive spectacle.
No, no. What do you think of my proposition? What have you decided?
Good heavens. I don't even know what your proposition is yet. You don't expect me to say yes or no to a mere idea, do you?
You misunderstand me. Have you given it any serious thought? Or did you reject it out of hand? If so, there's no use discussing it any further. Except...
Except?
I'd very much like to have one more meeting. A three-cornered meeting. You, me, and your chairman, what's his name?
Dennis Dover.
That's the fellow, yeah. Between the three of us, I believe we can work out something to our mutual advantage. And before you decide anything, why don't you slip over to Paris for a day or two? Visit the Hotel Montaigne for me. I value your opinion.
Well, that's a very attractive idea, but...
You'll find Gracie staying there. I know she'd be pleased to see you.
As I say, it's very tempting. But I really can't spare the time.
Oh, pity. Oh, there's something else I wanted to mention about Violet Powler.
What about her?
I'm buying a house near Maidenhead and I shall need a housekeeper. I realize Violet's in your employ, but I knew her first and she knows me. Would you mind if I offered her the job? If you've any objection, you won't say the word and I'll drop the idea. Perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Naturally, you must ask her. I wouldn't dream of standing in the girl's way.
That's extremely good of you, my dear chap. What the devil's that?
The fire alarm.
Excuse me.
Everything is under control. There is no necessity to vacate the building. No cause for alarm.
Rosie, what's happening? Where's the fire?
The emergency is over, Mr. Orkham. Please return to your rooms, ladies and gentlemen.
But what was it? A false alarm?
Not quite. I was in my room with Miss Powler when we heard someone scream fire. I raised the alarm immediately and went to investigate. A lady in 315 had a spirit lamp under a coffee pot and carelessly left it too close to the window curtains, which went up in flames. I smothered the blaze with a towel and sent Miss Parler to silence the alarm. It took a little longer to quieten the guests, but as you see...
It's all right now. Oh, good evening, Mr. Walker.
Thank you for your assistance, Miss Parler. But the lady in 315 needs new curtains and another bath towel.
I'll go and see to it.
Oh, and Miss Parler?
Yes?
When you've done that, perhaps you would come to my office.
Yes, sir, certainly.
Come in, Miss Parler. Close the door, please.
Room 315 is in good order now, sir.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. But there is one thing that puzzles me. I understand you were with Mr. Perosi when the fire broke out. Surely you should have finished work by 8 o'clock?
Yes, sir, I was off duty.
So, in your spare time, you visit Mr. Perosi?
He's kindly offered to give me French lessons. I hope you have no objection to that.
No, why should I?
I understand it's against company policy for staff to mix with guests on a social level. I thought perhaps it was against company policy for Mr. Perosi to teach me French.
Don't be silly. If you're referring to Sir Henry Savard...
Yes, I am.
Well, perhaps I should tell you. He informed me this evening that he's bought a house in the Thames Valley. He wanted to ask if you would care to leave the hotel and go to work for him instead, as his housekeeper. Naturally, I said I wouldn't dream of standing in your way.
Thank you, sir. That's very good of you.
Do you think you might accept his offer?
I don't know. I'll have to sleep on it. Perhaps I could give you my answer tomorrow.
I'm afraid I shan't be here tomorrow. I'm off to Paris.
In the second episode of Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace, Evelyn Orcombe was played by Robin Ellis and Violet Powler by Charlotte Attenborough. Sir Henry Savart, Derek Waring, Miss Cass, Anne Beach. Mr. Perosi, Michael Mears, Mrs. O'Riordan, Janet Moore, Miss McLaren, Joanna Munro, Mr. Dover, John Hartley, Mr. Plimsing, Stephen Thorne, Mr. Crump, Sean Baker, the barber, Mark Bonner. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Imperial Palace is dramatized for radio by Peter Ling and directed by Enid Williams.